Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I always give you guys a shout out because you are faithful listeners and we appreciate you. All of our good people over near Seal and Crawford and Smith Station and out there near 431, out there near Fort Mitchell, hope you guys had a happy new year. You know, I was sitting here thinking while we were waiting on the new year to come in, I was like, you know, we can celebrate New Year here in Columbus and then drive right across the river a few miles and celebrate New Year again. Be back in 2018. I wonder what that would felt like. You know, just me being silly. You know, it was a great night. We had a great night at church, thanking the Lord for everything that he saw me and my family through in 2018, the things that we have endured, you know, and the many blessings that we are experiencing because of his grace and his mercy. And if you think it's for any other reason other than the Lord, then you're sadly mistaken. So we were so thankful for that as a family, especially for that little 2-year-old lady, Catherine. She is truly the heart and the apple of all of our eyes and my family and just such a blessing on so many different levels. And many of you have blessings to be thankful for, too, in 2019. The fact that God allowed you to see this year, the fact that you are still here, you are still breathing, you are still capable, you are still moving, you are still living. It is just beyond amazing. And so we have to be thankful for that. But 2019 brings a new opportunity. Now that we are here, the question becomes, what are we going to do with it? And you should be asking yourself on the first Sunday of the new year, what are you going to do with this new year that you have been blessed with 2019? Are there goals that you want to accomplish? Are there things that you want to do? Is there a new move that you want to make for you? One thing I would say, and I've certainly practiced this throughout my own life as I've matured and as I've grown and as I have become a father and I'm now watching my daughter grow, is that you will never find the perfect time to do anything. If you want to do it, you got to get up off your butt and you got to do it now. You got to make it happen. You got to say, I am going to fit this into my schedule, because I promise you, you will find everything else to do. Other people will find other things for you to do with your time versus doing what you need to do to make your life better and to take you to that next level and to help you accomplish those goals that you're trying to accomplish. So my word to you is, if there's something that you want to do, get up and do it now. You know, I can't remember who the artist was, but it was certainly a very profound speaker that said one day, you know, you got to get up, get out and do something. Don't let the days of your life pass you by. And that's what we're talking about. Just how quickly we flip from 2018 to 2019. The days of our lives will be passing us by if we don't get up, get out and do something. Well, I'm looking forward to a great conversation today. Today is going to be a conversation of reflection. Today is going to be a conversation of inspiration, of rejuvenation, a conversation of generation, hopefully generating ideas and generating excitement and generating hope as we talk about 2019 and what we want to do as individuals. And as we're having this conversation, I want you to think about some of the things we're going to discuss and think about how it reflects on your life. Think about how it impacts your life. Think about how it impacts your family, your children, your grandchildren, your cousins, your neighbor. Your neighbor. Yes, we oftentimes don't think outside of family when it comes to holidays, but the fact that you guys live on the same street, you're somewhat family yourself, because you have to take care of that corridor to make sure that it's fine. Family taking care of family, neighbors taking care of neighbors, friends taking care of friends. That should be how we maneuver in 2019. But I'm excited today to have with me a very, very amazing guest. I tell you, this guy, he's a good friend of mine. When I first moved here to Columbus, I connected with this gentleman here, and he's just been such an awesome guy. I've watched him grow in his ministry. I watched his church grow, the Life Church of Columbus. His beautiful wife, Danielle Taylor, she really steals the show. So, Miss Taylor, if you're listening, I just want you to know that your husband is nothing without you. You steal the show all the time. So, Dr. Walter Taylor, How you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm doing good. What a way to build that up.
I tell you, you know, I could have kept going. Walter, because, you know, and I know you doctor, but we going to drop the little protocols today because we on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. And on this show, you know, we keep it calm and we keep it plain and we keep it informal because we're talking to the people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Keep all the formalities out the door. We're just talking to the people, and we're talking to the people of Columbus that listen, that oftentimes listen to this show for information. For inspiration. And so we're going to lean on you today, brother, but I'm glad to have you here because, you know, as I have learned so much from you, and as I have listened to you and I talk about different subjects, and as I have examined your life, I see that you have a uniqueness about your life, being that, you know, for one, you were born and raised right here in Columbus, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Now tell me about where you grew up and tell me about growing up.
Right here, a byproduct of Columbus, not just Columbus, but a byproduct of South Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
That side of the line that's on the other side of Macon Road, where they consider it to be the lower echelon of society. Grew up in Baker Village, grew up in Willis Plaza. I grew up eating government cheese. Grew up eating the peanut butter that came in the silver can.
So you grew up in Baker Village?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Baker Village.
What was that like as a kid?
You know, it was very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Times were different then.
Mm-hmm.
Gang activity still exists, you know. It was very challenging. I would look and I would see cousins who were in gangs and stuff, and I would say to myself that I don't want this to be the end of my story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I made myself a promise that I would make it out.
I got you.
I did that for myself.
Yeah.
Seeing my mother struggle, then being raised by my grandparents in Willis Plaza, seeing the sacrifices that they would make, I made myself that promise that when I could do better, I would.
You know, financially, it doesn't sound like things were, you know, ideally where your family wanted it to be. But what I'm still hearing is family unit. And that matters. That matters so much in the life of a child and the cohesiveness of a family. You got to be able to stick together, right?
You have to. My wife says a cliche that makes so much sense to me now. She said, when I was growing up, we were poor, and I didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it. I said the same thing. Wow.
You know, it's amazing how my mother, she would cultivate a home that though we were in Baker Village, it didn't feel like Baker Village.
Because, you know, when you talk about some poke and beans and weenies, you know, in that same pot stirred up together.
Yes, sir.
That was one of my favorite meals.
Yes, sir.
That was one of my favorite meals.
Yes, sir.
Who knew it was a poor person meal?
Yes, sir. You know, even growing up with my grandparents and seven of us sleeping in one room.
Come on now.
You know, feet and head to the bed,
yeah.
You know, pallets on the floor.
But you're with cousins.
With cousins.
You're with family.
Family.
You're not thinking about, I need my own bed, I need my own pillow. You're not thinking about that.
None of that.
But, you know, that was when we saw family still embracing family. That was got black people, particularly, I'm just going to be straight up, that's what got black people through a lot of hard times, like the Depression and the economic downturns. And the fact when we just couldn't get jobs because of the color of our skin.
Exactly.
These are realities that our ancestors had to deal with.
Yeah.
And I know people don't like talking about it now. I know it makes people uncomfortable. But I think part of the problem with the generations now is that they don't materialize what our ancestors, what our grandparents had to go through.
Yeah.
Even, and I'm not just talking about kids getting in trouble, Walt, and I want your opinion on this. But I'm talking about even those privileged children that found themselves playing D1 football at some of the biggest schools here in this country. Their grandparents couldn't even go to those schools.
Couldn't even walk on the campus.
Couldn't even walk on the campus.
Right.
So we're not just talking about a poor thing.
Right.
We're not just talking about a underprivileged thing. We're talking about an across the board discrimination because of a group of people, because of who they were and who they are. And we are still experiencing some of that.
We are. We are. And I think the concept that has been lost with the family unit is when I was growing up, Daddy would say, I'm going to teach you how to fish.
Yes.
Because if I just give you the fish, then you're only going to eat for the day.
Yes.
But if I teach you the system, then you'll be able to pass this system down to the next generation. And I think that's what's missing out of that family unit, that cohesiveness where families would come together and Big Mama would pass down recipes, or they would talk about how our great grandparents had to endure some of the things that they've had to endure and pay the price for us to have the freedom and the liberties that we have today. It's sad, in this 21st century, I don't think many young people understand the price that was paid, because in their mind, freedom is free.
Right.
When in
right.
actuality, right. freedom costs.
Right.
And it costs dearly.
Right.
And so, as you were saying, our forefathers, they paid a dear price for us to have the liberties that we sometimes take for granted.
But it goes back to another cliche, out of sight, out of mind. When you remove real Black history from the history books that are taught in school,
right.
when you don't have those additional extracurricular courses that teaches them about the march from Selma to Montgomery, that teach them about the sit-in at Greensboro, North Carolina, North Carolina A&T, and which those were freshmen and sophomores.
Sure was.
One senior and juniors.
Right.
These were young people. And it amazed me how millennials and how young people are often discredited for not contributing to the community and not stepping up to the plate. When you look at major changes that have transpired in this country, they happen because of young folks, Walter.
Because of young people. You look at the demographics of the African-American community, of the major influences that they still teach in the school system. You look at Martin Luther King Jr., who was in his mid-30s when he was assassinated. You look at Malcolm X.
Assassinated. Not getting started.
Right.
Not just doing speeches.
Right.
Not just doing the March on Washington.
Right.
But getting assassinated.
Right.
Come on.
Work.
Wow.
Putting forth work. Wow. Putting his words to action. And I think that's really, you know, the concept that we're diminishing. They don't understand, and then we don't have many teachers anymore.
That's right. And you know, but part of having teachers is having that family unit and that cohesiveness of a community. Remember, I started the show talking about community and like for instance, yourself growing up in Baker Village. Right. Mm-hmm. And there are other people like Dr. Kevin Rome that grew up in BTW and other low income housing units here in this city. Well, the history that would normally come with the family coming back to the family farm or coming back to the family estate for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, those memories are gone.
Right.
That institution, that foundation of family is gone whenever somebody in an elected capacity decide that it's time for us to tear this down so that we can build the next shopping center, like what's about to happen with Chase Homes.
Right.
Or, you know, what happened with BTW right there across from the Civic Center. You know, you're not just tearing down a building. You're tearing down memories. You're tearing down history. You're tearing down a culture.
Right.
Of folks that didn't have anywhere else to go. That was where they had to live because of the conditions that we have established as a society. Part of that being economic development and providing people with livable jobs.
Right.
Livable wage jobs so that they can actually get things done. How does one move forward as a family unit, Walter, with trying to keep that cohesiveness of family together, knowing that everything you remember as a child is gone?
There's an African proverb that I hold dear and near. It says, as long as we hold on to memories, then we never lose the aspect of our loved ones or our forefathers. And so it is the memories that we must share now. When the building has been torn down, the pictures have been destroyed, it's the being able to sit down around the table or sit down in the living room and have conversations and talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember growing up, we all sat and ate together.
Right.
But then I look at my house now and you know, I'm candid with it, you know. My kids in one room, we're in another room. Mm-hmm. And so that time of being able to sit and really dialogue mm-hmm. and converse about things, we don't find it much anymore. And so that's one of the missing pieces that's helping to bridge that generation to this generation so that they understand what it meant or what we had to experience or go through to get to where we are. It's missing. So I believe that it's important that we bring conversation back to the home between mothers and children, fathers and sons, grandparents and parents, bringing that conversation back to say, listen, this is what our family stood for. This is some of the experiences our family has had. But these are some of the accomplishments that we have also been able to put under our belt.
Now, in that conversation, and I love that idea that you just put out there, and that conversation should ultimately supplement what they should be learning at school, right? It should ultimately supplement that. And oftentimes we do not see that happening, but if it's not happening at home and it's not happening at the school, real conversations that our children need to hear, that they need to understand, because if you don't understand your history, you're bound to repeat it.
Right.
You're bound to repeat it. So we got to certainly keep that going so that we can, so that we can be aware of that and be accustomed of that. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. So this is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We have with us today Dr. Walter Taylor. We are moving forward with our conversation with this new year, reflecting on family, reflecting on growth. And we're going to talk to him about how we can keep some of our new year resolutions and make sure that we keep our goal and our mission for 2019 on the right path and moving as it should. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave. But remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I am having a great conversation, first of the year conversation, the first show of 2019 with my good friend, Dr. Walter Taylor. They used to call him Walt back in the day, and if you were family, you call him Ernest, you know. But he's a good guy either way, I tell you. Just an amazing man of God. The head guy over there, head shepherd and leading a group of wonderful people over there at the Life Church of Columbus. And they are doing amazing things over there and just making sure that South Columbus and anyone who wants to visit, but particularly people on South Lumpkin, making sure that they know that God loves them and that he is there for them. And there's a home if you need one, and that's at the Life Church of Columbus. And so we're going to get him back on the air because I want to talk a little bit. Dr. Taylor, again, thank you for being here, brother.
It's my honor.
Thank you so much for being here. And we talked about you growing up in Willis Plaza as well as Baker Village. And so you grew up in the South Columbus area, certainly along the South Lumpkin corridor there. I want to talk a little bit about going to school there because you went to Eddy Middle School.
I did. Went to Eddy Middle School, home of the Generals.
Home of the Generals.
Yes, okay. Sir.
And you also went to Carver High School.
Carver High School. No place like the hill.
No place like the hill. Now, so you graduated Carver High School and you went through Eddy Middle School. And if you look at a lot of the state reporting as far as school performances, Carver's doing pretty decent. Principal Lindsay is doing an amazing job
over there at Carver.
And my hat's off to him, Principal Lindsay. You know, thank you for all that you're doing, for the role model that you are over there at Carver High School. Now, and in Eddy Middle School, I know the staff over there extremely well, and they are working with what we are providing them. Part of the challenge is that our educational funding continues to get cut yearly on a state level.
Right.
By the General Assembly. A Republican-controlled General Assembly continues to cut education funding, continues to give more of the public education funding to charter schools, mm-hmm. and continue to cut taxes for those that don't need tax cuts. Like, why do yacht owners need a tax cut in the state of Georgia?
Exactly.
If you can own a yacht, you need to be paying my taxes, too. You
Please.
Know, I got a problem with that.
Please.
You know, I don't have a yacht.
Right.
You know, you got to have a yacht to get a tax cut.
You know, to me, that sounds a little backwards. But anyway, educational funding is so important. Dr. Taylor, someone who who's grown up in that area, who matriculated through Eddy Middle School and understanding the current plight of education here in the state of Georgia, particularly here in Columbus, you know, what are your thoughts on our current education system?
I think there are some vast improvements that need to be made very fast.
Okay.
Because you take Eddy, for instance. Eddy is right down the street from the church I pastor, and it is so sad to see that we have teachers who are overworked and underpaid.
That's true.
We have facilities that are not adequate for this century of technology. We have children, first off, who have to at home deal with the economic stance of facing poverty, but then having to go to school and face another set of challenges. It creates so many dilemmas for the child and the learning environment. And so now we have a stigma being placed on our children because they are not succeeding or producing in an environment, truthfully, that really isn't giving them space to produce.
You know, I want to say this real quick. You know, I know in the perfect world, in utopia, and in these mushy feel good meetings, we don't like to try to designate where the problem may have started. I'm trying to talk without using the word blame.
Right.
You know, we don't want to try to designate where the issue originated and how the problems got started. But, you know, when I look at it, and I look at our school system, and I look at our public school system, from my best calculation, and I'm not the smartest man, I'm just a guy with 3 degrees, but from my best calculation, everything always goes back to the school board.
Yeah.
Because that's the entity that we have put in charge to make sure that our public education here is where it needs to be. If you're upset with a teacher, you go see that principal. If you're upset with the principal, you go see the superintendent. If you're upset with the superintendent, you go talk to the school board. If you're upset with the school board, there's nowhere else for you to go. You just have to vote them out. So at one point, when are we going to start holding people responsible for these inadequate results that we continue to get? And what I don't like, and let me be absolutely clear before anybody out there start lifting their eyebrows too high, what I don't appreciate is when we fault our educators for this.
Right.
Because it's not the teacher's fault.
Right.
They are working hard. I know plenty of teachers that call me all throughout the year looking for additional resources for their children.
Right.
In the classroom. Teachers paying for field trips. Teachers paying for graduation gowns. You know, teachers paying for lunch.
Right.
Because we won't even feed the children that can't afford it.
I have problems with that.
Please speak on those problems, because I was beginning to think I was the only one who felt that way.
The first issue that we got to address is the level of accountability. We as citizens of the community, we have to do better in voting, because we cannot complain about an issue that we're not willing to fix. So we need to get out and vote. Secondly, we need to hold those accountable that we voted for, who are sitting in these seats, that are holding these positions. We need to start holding them accountable for what we need for our children. It is a sad injustice. My office got a phone call last year about a situation at a school where it is that a lunch was taken from a child because there was no money on the books.
Wow.
My heart grieved to hear that kinds of stuff.
And I think, wasn't it Chairwoman Keel Chambers and her husband and some other nice citizens that got together and paid
right. The
balance for these children?
Right.
You know, and that's the kind of, I just appreciate Keel's leadership. And it hurts my feelings that she's not going to be the chair moving forward. I promise that, I pray that whoever goes in will certainly exemplify the type of leadership that she did.
Right. Right. I do agree. And that's what I'm going back to. You deal with, especially in that South Columbus area. So you have children who are dealing with poverty at home, and the one place that they should be able to get a decent meal is in their hands and is being snatched away. And it would be different if it's being used for something else. Mm. But at the end of the day, the food that's unused is going in the dumpsters.
Going in the dumpsters.
So we're creating these environments that are limiting our children from being able to produce and to come forward.
In my opinion, it's inhumane.
It is very.
It's inhumane to allow a child to sit there on an empty stomach trying to be educated.
Right.
Can you learn hungry? I can't.
You become distracted. You become distracted. And so not only do we deal with that, we deal with the fact that many people don't like to address this, but there is a mental health problem that needs to be addressed in our school system.
Yes.
So rather than us taking our children and having our children heavily medicated, why don't we push some pressure on the school board to put some mental health counselors in our schools to address some of these issues that our children are facing today?
You know, this week we watched Nancy Pelosi be sworn in as the Speaker of the House.
Right.
For the 116th Congress, congressional session. And one thing that they talked about on TV was just how diverse this group of class members are coming into Congress, how there are more women, how there are more African Americans, how there are more people of the LGBT community, you know, how there are more people of different religions and things of that nature. And it forces you to take a look at your local representatives and say, you know, are we diverse enough in the representation of our elected officials here locally?
Right.
And then you look at the school board, since we're talking about education, and you have to look at the glaring fact that there's not one African-American male on the school board.
Not one. Not one.
Who is speaking for our little boys?
Right.
That would understand what they... It's different to raise a child. My mother raised me as a single mother. And I'm sure there's a lot she thinks she can speak to, Dr. Taylor. But however, she will tell you herself. He will have to speak with you directly about what he experienced as a child.
Right.
Who's speaking for our young black men in the school district?
Right. And this is no plight against any mother who is a single mother, but you can't be a mother and a father. You can only be one. So you cannot, there is only so much a mother can teach a young man. And so a young man with the absence of a father, there's only so much he'll be able to learn as it pertains to coming into manhood. And I believe that it's imperative that we shake the school board, our local school board, and bring a real level of diversity there so that we can get our school board representatives into the schools. It's disheartening to me. I've gone to a couple of schools, and one of the complaints that they've had is they don't see their school board representative. Hadn't saw him all year.
Wow.
That's problematic for me.
Wow.
That how is it that you think you can represent a district of schools that you don't even go by and say hello? You don't even go by and sit and have lunch with them.
You know, clearly we have a wide misunderstanding, or at least we're not on the same accord as to what representation means.
Right.
You know, because to me, if you're on the school board, you definitely should be going to the schools.
Please.
You know, if you're in an elected government capacity, you should be going to community meetings.
Right.
You know, if I'm there, I know I should see you.
Right.
You know, and when I don't see you, that to me, that's problematic, because how can you represent the voice of the people if you're not present?
Right. And so if we were to take statistics and take a poll, I think we would be saddened by how many children in the schools in Muskogee County can't point out who their school board representative is.
Wow. Wow.
That's something to think about.
That is something to think about.
And these are the people that we've elected to represent our schools. Well, that's sad.
You know, I just pray, Dr. Taylor, that we move some things in a different direction. Not for the sake of egos, not for the sake of power tripping, not for the sake of somebody just wanting to stand up and wave when they're in a function and somebody say, all elected officials, please stand up. But that we move forward in a capacity that we put the thoughts and put the best interests of our children first.
I totally agree.
And that we think about that life is already going to be challenging for them. So what we need to do the most is make sure that they leave our school district with the foundation that they need to be successful in society.
Very true.
To be successful in an academic setting.
Right.
You know, to be successful in a business, if that's what they choose to go and start and do, and be productive in contributing members to society.
Right.
I mean, and I think it all ties in together, and you can give me your opinion on this. It all ties in together all the way down to the fact that we were just hours within 2019 and we had our first murder. Look at the fact that we were 1 week in 2019 and we had our first bank robbery. You know, it's like the criminals are more active than the leaders and the people who's supposed to be directing the movement.
Right. And that's so sad, because one of the issues we're finding is we already have the issue with the school board. And so we got issues in the school system. And so now the issue becomes, when a child is suspended, you have a single mother who's working to take care of two, maybe three kids. She's working a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
The child is suspended. Who's at home with the child?
The game bangers and the drug dealers.
There you go. So here it is. The child is being pushed out of the school system. He's being pushed out of the school, and now he's being pushed into an environment where he's now looking for guidance.
Which is supposed to be punishment, but common sense should tell you that's not punishment.
That's not punishment.
That's a contributor to the school-to-prison pipeline.
There you go.
And that's all it is. We're not punishing children by sending them home when that parent can be there, sitting there playing video games, eating cereal all day under the influence of those that are not doing anything positive themselves, because they're sitting at home on the same corners.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing when you look at the
and
crime rate.
And you don't
rate.
Need a PhD to see that.
No, you don't need a PhD.
So why the people in charge haven't moved us beyond that yet? I don't know. Why are we still suspending children, sending them home? I mean, I understand that some acts are so egregious that you do have to remove a child from an educational environment.
Right.
I understand those things happen.
Right.
But generally.
Right. Generally.
Generally.
Generally speaking, yeah.
You know, you were talking too much in class, or you got too many tardies. Or, you know, you wore these shorts and, you know, you're not supposed to wear these type shorts to school.
Right.
We can't be sending children home for that kind of stuff.
Right. Because
that's the kind of stuff that got to stop.
It and just creates a cycle.
And that's what leadership on the board got to be speaking up against.
Right. Right. And that's what we need. That's what we're in desperate need of, is someone to be a voice for the people. I teach leaders. I teach business owners. I teach leaders in churches that, in order to lead, you must be willing to sacrifice.
Right.
Where there is no sacrifice, there is no leadership. So I'm like you. I believe that there's coming the day that the people are desiring someone that's willing to put their all on the line for the sake of another. That's the community. That's what saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up in Willis Plaza, everybody on the street was my mama and daddy. They, you know, if I did something on my way to Mr. Zeke, which was the corner store, Miss Bussy, them, they would say, "I'm going to tell your grandmama them."
Come on now.
And they would deal with me before I got to the house. And then when I got to the house, I got dealt with again, because everybody said, "I'm going to make the sacrifice because I don't want to see you fall into another cycle." And that's what we got to get back to. People stepping into leadership roles that say, "You know what? I'm willing to make the sacrifice to prevent another cycle."
With that, I hope you guys have enjoyed the conversation today with myself and Dr. Taylor. I tell you, he's a very, very, very deep guy. We got to get him back on here again close to the middle of the year so we can continue our conversations about what's going on over in South Columbus, particularly on South Lumpkin. We're going to have a conversation in regards to that. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Again, I want to wish all of you a happy new year. We are now in 2019. We made it. We are across the threshold. We have a new 12-month calendar ahead of us, and we have to make the determination, what are we going to do to make things different this year? You know, are we going to be brave enough, bold enough? Will we push harder? Will we seek more? Will we grow more? That is totally up to us. It's totally up to you. Nobody can do it for you but you. Again, this is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Thank you so much for listening. The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.